This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right now, the coach's son is going to dribble out his dad's championship. 76-59.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Every dog has his day, and this day belongs to the Huskies.
Earlier on the show, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis. Coming up, ESPN senior NBA writer Brian Windhorst. Two-time Academy Award winner Ben Affleck. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. As you just heard, our show open here on the Roku channel and Sirius XM and Odyssey and also this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. The voice that you just heard announcing who's coming up and who is on, and you hear her voice every single day, Erin Sheehan. And she has been the voice of this show for every single day that we've been on the air since 2014. She's going to be joining us as a guest at the end of this hour because she, as you probably heard on the Dan Patrick Show, because she is the better half of Seton O'Connor, she picked UConn to beat San Diego State in her NCAA tournament bracket.
Unbelievable.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
That's her. And so you will hear the familiar voice of somebody on this program at the end of this hour who definitely won her bracket competition.
Oof, absolutely.
Susie Schuster sitting in the space for Chris Brockman as he is off with family today. Good to see you, Susie.
I'm excited to hear her voice when she's not voicing over.
Okay. Like,
does she sound like that?
We will hear.
Because if she does, that's even cooler.
I hope so.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts sitting in his spot. TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there. Man, joining us here at the top of hour number two as we're now turning the page from college to association basketball. It is time. It is time for the nitty and the gritty. The Lakers tonight are taking on the Utah Jazz. They're two games above 500. This is a team that we thought might not make the play-in tournament. They might not need the play-in tournament to make the playoffs. It is wild what's happening there in the Western Conference. Joining us, as always, our favorite from the worldwide leader in sports, Brian Windhorst. How are you doing, Brian?
Hi, Rich.
I mean, when Darvin Ham said about a month ago, you know, we're targeting the sixth seed, and the sixth seed were the Mavericks. And everyone's thinking, well, good luck to the Lakers making the sixth seed. Well, they may make the sixth seed, and the Mavericks may miss it entirely. I can't believe what's happened over the last several weeks, Brian.
Yeah, well, part of it is the West is just having a bit of a scrambled season. This is not the way it's been for most of the last 20 years. And so I would say don't confuse everything being bunched up for everything being good. One of the reasons why the Lakers have this still opportunity is because the teams that have been in front of them haven't been very good. All of the Western teams have some sort of weakness that could end up being fatal to them. But look, this is not the 7-8 years ago when you had the Warriors winning 73 games and the team right behind them having KD and Russell Westbrook in their primes. That's not the case. And so the Lakers have taken advantage of that. And what I'll say about the Lakers is this. If you want to look, I think they're 40-38.
Yep.
If you want to look at them as a 40-38 team, you can. And if you want to discredit their chances of doing anything, you know, I don't mean you specifically.
But, I understand.
You know, some of my colleagues, you know, kind of get annoyed with how much we talk about the Lakers, and usually I'm in that camp, but not anymore, because this is not a 40-38 team. This is a 14-17. That's the team's record since they made the Westbrook trade. And you might say, well, 14-7, that's no great shakes, and I'd agree with you, except for in the West this year, if you were 7 games over .500 for the whole season, you'd be right on the Phoenix Suns to be in fourth. And you go back and look, the Lakers started this season 2-10 because it was an embarrassing design of a team. And since that time, they're 10 games over 500. And again, 10 games over 500 in the West would have you like right there with the Kings in third. So this is just a better team than their seed and their record shows. And that 14-7, a lot of it was without LeBron.
That's right.
And Anthony Davis was skipping some games in there, like he skipped a game in Houston. that they lost a few weeks ago. And, you know, had they won that game, for example, they would be in fifth right now.
Well,
so they are just a potent team in an impotent Western Conference, and I think they are worth paying attention to. And the games tonight and tomorrow, the night they play the Jazz in Utah, hard game, end of road trip, tough one to win. But look, they're hot. They've won five in a row. Tomorrow at home against the Clippers, who have beaten them 10 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
These two games, in my opinion, are the two biggest Laker games since the bubble when they were in the finals. Certainly, if you're a Lakers fan, you may disagree. You will say, well, what about the 2021 playoffs when they played the Suns and were up 2-1 and then AD got hurt and they lost the series? I don't think they were winning that series, with all due respect. They were the 7 seed. The Suns were the 2 seed and won the West. But whatever, you want to squabble with me, whatever. These are really, really important games. And if they win these two, Rich, they're going to have some maneuverability going into this weekend. And if they win this two, that means they're going to be 16-7. And they're going to have won 7 in a row, and they're going to even have more confidence. So keep an eye on the Lakers over a very, very important 48 hours.
And I know the Lakers are about championships, and that's what LeBron is about, certainly in the remaining time of him being an active player in the league, Brian Windhorst. But that said, as my caveat, the conversation coming into the season and throughout the first part of the season was this roster was a mess. And that, forget about turning a corner, you couldn't even see the corner as to turn the corner and try and win with LeBron now and give him a team to win now with the way the roster was constructed. Have they turned a corner on that front, do you think? Have they found a way out of a situation people were saying there's no way out, Brian?
Well, they've gotten back to the middle at least.
Right.
And in this year, the middle is interesting in the West. Like, you know, you can remember, I don't remember if it was 2017, like the last day of the season, the Nuggets played the Timberwolves, and whoever won got in, and whoever lost, you know, finished ninth. It was sort of the first ever play-in game. Those teams had like 48 wins, Rich. Like 47 wins, like, knocked you out of the, you know, you didn't get in. If you had 47 wins in the West this year, you'd be maybe have home court for the first two rounds. So, you know, part of it is just the nature of this season. But LeBron had a pretty severe injury in his foot. Multiple doctors, by his own admission, told him, shut it down, get surgery. He hunted around for a doctor who would give him a treatment that would let him play. He openly admits that he could re-rupture that tendon and have to have surgery in the offseason. In fact, he didn't even close the door on having surgery in the offseason anyway. And I'll point out, it's several times since he's been a Laker, he shut down because he shut down at the end of the season because he recognized there was no place for the team to go. That wasn't the case this time. He's pushing it. He is playing. He is risking more serious injury on that foot because he smells opportunity. He smells an opportunity for them to make a run. Now, it may not happen. You know, there's 100 reasons why it may not happen. AD is very fragile. That foot is very fragile. They could get a bad draw. I mean, somebody's going to have to play the Suns in the first round, and that's not going to be a good draw because the Suns are pretty potent with Kevin Durant. They've yet to lose with him in the lineup. You know, they could play, they could get through this, get the 5th seed, pull a rabbit out of the hat, and then face a beast of a Suns team and lose. And then you could say, well, you did all that to get knocked out in the first round. All that could be true. But LeBron smells an opportunity because he doesn't believe the teams at the top are potent teams, and I think he's right. And at age 38, what's he worried about? If he blows out his foot, he blows out his foot, he's going to go for it. And I think, if nothing else, that leads us to be, you know, really excited for what could be a special, at least competitive, Western playoffs.
Brian Windhorst from the Worldwide Leader in Sports, ESPN, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why has the Kyrie-Luka marriage not only not worked, but, you know, put the Mavs in a position to miss this playoffs entirely? Why is this not working?
This is a team-building crisis because the Mavericks were in the conference finals last year, and then they lost Jalen Brunson for nothing, which is a very hard thing to do. They have a debt that they've got to pay maybe this year, maybe not, for the Kristaps Porzingis trade. They owe the Knicks a pick. And the way it looks, it's going to come right down to it, whether the Knicks get the pick or lose the pick. It's top 10 protected. And the Mavericks could be right there at 10th or 11th, depending on what happens. But they have a debt of a draft pick that not only loses them the potentially key pick, but also locks them out of trading, of have some future maneuverability. Mm. They lost Jalen Brunson for nothing. And now they make this trade for Kyrie, a player who can walk at the end of the year, although he's incentivized to stay if they pay him through the nose. But if you pay him through the nose, are you paying through a nose in a partnership that doesn't work? And they've traded away another first-round pick and some other valuable players, and it has not worked. It is not good with Luka Doncic that you're trying to build around, okay? It's not good. We've got some red X's there. The concept of this trade, Rich, was that, yes, they were going to get worse defensively. You don't trade your best defensive player and think that you're going to improve, especially for a player like Kyrie, who is generally not a good defensive player. The swap out Dorian Finney-Smith for Kyrie, you're losing there. But the idea was that you were going to have this super potent offense, and that, you know, Luka, who sometimes wears down at the end of games or wears down at the end of playoff series, would have this outlet to go to Kyrie. And what's happened is their offense has actually gotten slightly worse. Mm. Like, that was not on the board. On the board was like, will they have a historically great offense or just a great offense? Will they kill teams down the stretch with these two incredible ball handlers who can create for others and get their own shot? Or will they just, you know, maim them? They haven't done it. Right out of the gate, they couldn't put it together. Down the stretch, they were blowing close games, and that killed their margin for error. And then Luka hurt his hip, and Kyrie hurt his foot, and their defense, of course, predictably, was poor. And next thing you know, you're going from riding the ridge to falling off on your backside. And the problem is, like, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a stunner that these two players wouldn't immediately come together and everything be perfect. That's understandable that it would take some time for them to kind of figure each other out. But the problem is that the deal was, you knew Kyrie was going to be a free agent and had a wandering eye. He didn't say, trade me to Dallas. He ended up in Dallas as a consequence of the trade. That wasn't on his list. And so now you just don't know where it's going to end up. And if Kyrie walks on them, they're in a real bind in terms of where they are with Luka Doncic.
Well, I mean, Luka, a couple weeks ago, after another one of the many tough losses to which we're referring, Brian Windhorst, you know, arched many an eyebrow, and when he showed up at a post-game press conference looking miserable, talking about how he points out he used to smile a lot in the court, now he doesn't, and even referenced it's not all on the court that's causing him to not smile while on the court. And, of course, it's very easy, low-hanging fruit, to just say that's Kyrie's fault. Is it, though? I mean, what was he referring to there?
No, he's referring to something that I'm not going to discuss.
Got it.
But I don't think this is – I mean, Kyrie has done some damage to teams in the past. I don't think this is the same.
Okay.
I think this was very unprudent team building. When the Mavericks made the deal, I could kind of see what they were doing. They were kind of hedging a little bit because they still do have a couple of assets to trade. They still have a couple of first round picks that they're allowed to trade, and they still have a couple of young players on their roster. Josh Green, who's a good young defender, and Jaden Hardy, who is actually a pretty interesting rookie. Like, they could build up a little bit in the next couple of years with a couple of moves, but that was predicated on Kyrie and Luka working together and Kyrie staying committed. If that doesn't happen, that undercuts that. And so I don't think this can be quote unquote blamed on Kyrie. I'll listen to what happened to the Celtics at the end. I'll listen to what happened to the Nets last year in terms of Kyrie. I don't think that's quite the same. I think this was just a bit of a unsavory risk profile that's blown up in their face.
So then last quick question for you on this. I'm just trying to pick up everything that you're saying. Are the Mavs in this final week of the season now in the position of like, all right, let's just go for it, trying to make the most out of this year, maybe make a run. All we got to do is just get a seat at the table or pull the plug and keep make sure they protect that top 10 pick. Is that their choice right now?
Well, they're not eliminated yet.
Right.
I don't see the sense. I mean, they're not in good position.
Right.
You know, they're on the outside and their tiebreak situation isn't great. If they get eliminated, you know, in the next couple of days, and then all of a sudden you're looking at the weekend where you are thinking about not trying to send the 11th pick. That's, you know, when you have a top 10 pick, you got to send the worst case scenario is sending the 11th pick. You know, you'd prefer to send the 23rd, the 29th pick, right?
Yes.
So I could see them shutting it down after they're eliminated. But if they shut it down before they're eliminated, that would be one of the most ridiculous white flag waving maneuvers ever, even if it looks bad. No, I can't see them doing that.
Okay.
But I would say any team that's eliminated from the playoffs in this situation in the modern history of the NBA would shut it down. So I don't think that's a controversial thing. It's if it's after they're eliminated.
Okay. And the few minutes I have left with you, let's just talk injuries and who's getting healthy. You know, we just started our conversation talking about the Lakers. All the, you know, look out for the Lakers. If they get it in a good spot, they get in and they can go on a run. If you want to talk chip in a chair, to use a poker term, the defending champs as well. They're the ones currently sitting in that sixth spot. And is Wiggins coming back? Talk to me about him and other injured players and when they might return and how healthy we're going to see teams for the playoffs, best you can tell me, Brian, right now.
Yeah, I think the expectations is that Wiggins will be back with the Warriors tonight. They play the Thunder at home. I don't think the plan is for him to play. I think it's a better chance for him to play Friday in Sacramento. I don't know where Wiggins is going to be. You know, he hasn't been gone with an injury. He's been gone with a personal matter,
yes.
But he hasn't played NBA basketball in 6 weeks. So, you know, he would have, if the Warriors can avoid the play-in, he would have a little bit of time to ramp up next week, but he wouldn't have games. And right out of the gate, there's a decent chance that they could play the Kings, who have the number one offense in the league, where his defense is going to really be important, or potentially play the Suns. I mean, talk about a juggernaut first-round series.
Right.
I mean, you could have Suns-Warriors, depending on how things fall. I mean, it's possible that you could have five teams finish 41-41. I don't think that'll happen, but it's on the board. And the Warriors are in bad shape on most of their tiebreakers, which isn't a surprise. If you can't win a road game, it's hard to get a tiebreaker throughout the course of the season. So they are going to need Wiggins defensively right out of the gate. And so I just don't know what to expect from him from a form standpoint. I will say that in December, he missed 3 weeks with an adductor injury. And when he came back, he really struggled. He had five or six really poor shooting games and then got hurt again. Now, he was coming off an injury there. That's not the same as coming off a personal problem. So
right.
It's, but I would say this, at the end of the day, if you're a Warriors fan, you can say, look, the whole team from last year's title run is back, including Gary Payton, who was gone, and then when they traded for him, was injured, including Andrew Wiggins. Like, if you're looking for a reason to believe, you can say, look, we got the team back. But boy, you're looking at potentially four series in a row without home court. Not potentially. They're going to be four series in a row without home court to repeat. You're kind of looking back at, like, I think it was the Rockets team, the Rudy Tomjanovich, never underestimate the heart of a champion, when they were, I think, a sixth seed, maybe, if I remember right. And they,
yeah,
you know, ran through the playoffs, just, you know, they got hot. I mean, they definitely have that profile, but you're asking a team that was one of the worst road defensive teams in the league and worst road teams in the league to win four straight series without home court. I mean, it absolutely can be done, but it's going to be it's going to be a challenge and certainly something we're going to watch, and getting Wiggins back should help.
All right. Brian, I'm looking forward to the way the playoffs play out. When is the actual draft lottery? When's the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes? When does that happen?
I believe it is May 20th.
Okay.
And did you see the Wembanyama highlight over the weekend?
I saw it on the Instagram on ESPN, shooting a three. By the way, the dribble to get his defender off him to shoot, you know, understandably short, but to have the sense of following it up and jamming it in. I've never seen anything like that, ever.
Well, that's the thing. The move that he makes, the step back. Now, he missed the three, okay.
Yeah.
But to execute an escape dribble and a step back three at 7'5", that was pretty impressive. And then he does a tip dunk on a three-pointer that he attempted.
So
never seen it before.
Do you know how many executives are what do they have a good luck charm? What are they, were they finding one? I mean,
I had that video sent to me by a longtime executive with the text, "Oh my God." It was like watching, like a teenager go up against 8-year-olds on a lowered hoop. That's what it looked like. This is a different type of lottery. This is, since the lottery evened out, I guess the Zion lottery was sort of like this, but it didn't feel quite the same. So this is not going to be like in the past, like at the LeBron lottery, where you had a pretty good feel that was kind of one of those top couple teams. Anybody could win this. I mean, the Lakers were, I think, 11th, and they zoomed up to 4 already in this system. And we've had some teams from the far back. Like, the lottery night is going to be it's going to be quite the interesting experience this year. I don't think he's a can't-miss prospect. I don't think he's the type of guy that if you get, you can say, oh, my God, they're going to be in the finals in within 5 years, which was the case for the Cavs with LeBron. But I do think it's the most excited league executives have been about a prospect since LeBron.
Spurs, Rockets, and Pistons will have the pole position in terms of the most ping pong balls, correct? That's who it's going to be on May 20th?
That's true.
Okay.
That's true, but we're talking about 12.5%. You know, back when the Cavs won the LeBron lottery, the number one team had a 25% chance.
There you go.
It's a pretty big difference. You know, half the percentage chance.
Brian, you're the best. Thanks for the time, as always. Look for more of my calls. Greatly appreciate it. Right back at you. That's Brian Windhorst. Must follow, must have, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. I love talking to him. He just makes me smarter. He's opinionated. He's knowledgeable. He's the best.
Yeah, but what was he talking about?
With Luka you're talking about?
Like, I can't talk about this.
Yeah, that
must be something.
Something internal.
Again, when Luka said, I used to smile a lot more, and I'm not anymore, and it's not just basketball, everyone's like, Kyrie.
Yeah. But at that point, Kyrie had been with the team for 13 games. So it's like, how could he have flipped it that quick?
Everyone's like, huh, what's different?
Yeah.
Kyrie. And I knew, I immediately, when Luka said that, I forget what weekend it was. It was 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
And I had like a text to Brian saying, I need you Monday or Tuesday, if you don't mind. And I didn't send it because so many other things were happening. I think with the NFL and somebody, I'm like, I'll put that aside, but I have to ask him the next time he's on if this is as simple as it's got to be Kyrie. And you just heard what his answer is. He goes, I hear you about what happened in Boston. I hear you what happened in Brooklyn. This ain't it.
Yeah.
And what Luka's referring to, I will not talk about publicly. And I just know what, you know, the speculation on something like that can run rampant.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what it is. I just know when it happens in the NFL and a lot of guys and ladies who have information or information people for a living and say, I won't talk about it. It's something clearly very personal, but you probably gleaned that already.
Yeah.
And holy cow, have they just totally gone down the tubes.
But like I said last week,
totally,
I mean, I don't
down
know what people expected from this squad anyway. On paper, that it's not a championship level team anyway.
Well, I mean, if you make the conference championship game 1 year, and you're a 6 seed in a Western Conference where all you need to use, again, the poker term, chip in a chair, and for those who may not know, doesn't matter how few chips you have, all you need is just to have one, you're still in the game, and a chair to play.
Oh, that's
so
okay.
A chip and a chair is the 6 seed. Or anybody, obviously 7 or 8. You just got to get in. And they were the 6 seed. They were not going to be in the play-in tournament. Don't you remember when Brockman was sitting in the chair that Susie's currently sitting in?
Like yesterday when he was sitting there?
No, no, no. When Darvin Ham said, we can be the sixth seed. Oh,
okay.
And Brockman's like, yeah, right. Good luck. They can be. They're a game out of it. And the Mavericks are in the spot where the Lakers were at that time.
I just remember when J.R. Ryder came in 2001 into a very crowded locker room with big personalities. Every so often, you can have that kind of toxic air on a player come in and everything changes. And I'm not saying that what Brian said wasn't something else.
So what are you saying?
But maybe I'm saying, I just don't know.
No,
it just smells familiar. And I respect Brian because as a reporter, there's nothing more important than protecting your sources. And clearly he knows something that we don't know. But I don't think it matters whether it's 13 games, TJ, or three. That's just witch's brew down there.
I think that they are clearly, you know, obviously spinning their wheels here, but does not help that the guy they let go for nothing is an all-star taking the Knicks to the playoffs. A revelation.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson in New York.
They could have had
his game with Julius Randle is a two-man game that the Knicks are hoping having a third man in will knock out the Cavs. And then take on one of the big three and knock them out too and put them in the Eastern Conference Championship. And I understand Chris's opinion about the Celtics is one thing and your opinion about the Sixers is another. And it's widely shared. Knicks can do it. And Brunson's a guy who can do it. So we haven't seen him in this position yet of star point guard going into the playoffs. We have not seen that. And, you know, I know that he was part of that group that went to the conference championship in the West last year, but this is Brunson's show. Last year, it was like, I'm showing you in my walk year, you got to pay me. This is now his show, and I can't wait to see it.
Jalen's exceeded all expectations.
And didn't you send a text to the group the other day, a screen grab of somebody retweeting Mark Cuban saying he paid for Twitter Blue, and somebody's like, he didn't even pay for Brunson, but he's giving Elon Musk $8?
That wasn't me, but I saw that.
All right, so I saw that in my jet stream, and it's part of the criticism the Mavericks are going to get. Brunson walked. They might not even make it. Luka's miserable, and Kyrie might walk on him too. And where is the rest of that roster from last year? New York City, Brooklyn, and Manhattan.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. And the news about the Patriots, kind of shocking. We'll talk about that next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with our live Roku channel stream. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Why don't you? Ben Affleck, hour number three. Susie is sitting in for Chris, who's with family today. Del Tufo and TJ Jefferson all here. Tiger Woods has spoken. That'll be part of Susie's news update at the top of the next hour, along with the invitation that came out of nowhere for Iowa to visit the White House, despite losing to LSU, along with LSU, or separately from LSU, or we don't know what the First Lady was talking about yesterday, but Susie's got all the latest on that front. Phil Mickelson is talking right now, and he's looking, man, he's looking as if he's been through the ringer himself. He's talking today. I don't know what's going on, other than the fact that we're all getting older. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. So we had Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston on this program about, I would say, a month ago. Maybe even longer than that, before the new league year was about to begin. And a lot of talk about how the Patriots and Mac Jones weren't on the same page, and Mac was critical, as we all know, last year of the way the offense was being run, and many people critical of the way that the offense was being coached, Chris Brockman being one of them, and then Bill O'Brien's being brought in to run the offense now, and he gets the role of offensive coordinator, which is something Belichick throws around like manhole covers. And Curran said, no way is Mac Jones going to get traded this year. And the reason why is because Bob Kraft loves him. Mm-hmm. And that's why Bill O'Brien was brought in, and that's why Kraft kind of orchestrated that as the owner of the Patriots, as is his want and also right. And Tom was very resolute in that, and he knows of what he speaks. And the fact that this report came from Florio, Pro Football Talk, isn't to say that Tom doesn't know what he's talking about, but it is certainly at odds that Mike Florio is saying, according to many of his sources, purse sources, Patriots and Belichick have been shopping Mac Jones around. Hmm. And that's what we call an eyebrow razor.
Are you really that surprised?
I am, Suze, because where else are they going to go? Who else are they going to get? Jimmy G? Like, if you trade him and you can then sign Jimmy G back, got it. You trade him, and then you jump on Derek Carr, got it. You trade him and jump on, I don't know, Baker Mayfield. I'm just throwing some names of some free agents out there. Those guys are all signed. I mean, and if you trade him now, again, the fact that he's still with the team doesn't mean that he's going to be traded, but it's entirely possible. According to Florio, the team's per source knowledge of the situation, Belichick has shopped Jones to multiple teams during this offseason. The full list of potential destinations isn't known. The teams mentioned as potential destinations were the Raiders. They signed Jimmy G. The Texans, who have the second overall pick. Clearly, that's where they're going to go. The Buccaneers, who signed Baker, and Commanders, who are seemingly resolute on signing Sam Howell. Now, if there's one individual who might be sitting up in his chair today hearing this news, like, oh, okay, let's put two and two together. If you're interested in trading Mac Jones, if you're not sold on sticking with him, that person's name is Meek Mill. Because Meek is the one who told Bob Kraft.
What's wrong with you?
Lamar Jackson's interested in playing for you. And we're all assuming Bill immediately squelched that idea. But maybe, just maybe, let's traffic in this thing. Maybe, just maybe, Bill hasn't squelched it. Maybe, just maybe, on the list of teams that we put in front of you, our Roku channel viewer and terrestrial radio listener and or Sirius XM and Odyssey listener, podcast listener, everybody who takes in this show, as soon as Lamar Jackson slapped with the franchise tag, we put out there for you the way we saw the market. Teams that can't go for him because they don't have two first-round draft choices in the second in consecutive drafts. Teams that do need a quarterback. Teams that absolutely do not need a quarterback. Chiefs and Eagles were on that list. And then there was that list of teams that would blow your mind if they went for him. Mm-hmm. And we had on that list the New England Patriots.
They're there.
And I'm dipping my toe in the water. Is what is absolutely going to be coming out of this report from Florio is that if they're not completely sold, married to, they kick tires on trading away Mac Jones, then why not this guy? And why not?
Maybe, just maybe, Belichick took the steps down on Steph's beach, walked, pondered,
look at you.
Thought about it.
Look at you with a Nantucket reference.
Maybe he sat there thinking, I got to shake things up.
Staring out into the Atlantic Ocean.
Into the gray waters.
Into the gray waters and thinking, maybe McDaniels will take Mac Jones.
Like Ahab before him.
For that 7th overall pick, I don't even know what he would ask for. Of course the Raiders are like, yeah, no thanks. Of course the Texans are like, yeah, no thanks. 2nd overall pick. I mean, that's no way. But the connective tissue's right there. Nick Caserio sitting there in Houston. McDaniel sitting there in Las Vegas. Bill has those phone numbers. Mm-hmm. You know? Wow. That one was quite an eyebrow archer. You know, where if they were thinking of doing it, are they still thinking of doing it? And if so, when?
Who is the player this week? And I'm spacing because that's what I do. Who tweeted out to Lamar like?
Oh, Asante Samuel said you don't want a piece of Bill. And then Matthew Judon retweeted it saying it's changed. It don't listen to him.
Right.
Things are good around here.
Mind your business.
Yeah, mind your business, Asante. Butt out. Just because you and Bill had beef doesn't mean like Lamar will have anything but filet mignon here.
You had beef,
Lamar can have filet mignon.
People stop thinking they can read Belichick's mind. I like it. Something's brewing.
Nobody can.
I like it.
Nobody can.
I'm here for it.
We just all assume Meek Mill calls Robert Kraft, and I was saying, hey, Lamar should just call Bill himself. Call Bill himself. You always tell me, you want somebody, you call that person. You want to do something, you call that person. We say that to each other all the time. Hey, you want to do something? You call that person. Don't wait for someone else to do it for you. You should call. Why do you have Meek Mill, you know, like kind of passing Robert Kraft a note in third grade science saying, if you want me, check this box. Just call Bill and say, there is a box. I will check it for you. It's called the Lombardi after Brady. You know? And I thought, like, that's not your best way to put your best foot forward is have Bob Kraft call up Bill. Hey, Bill, you know I heard from today? Meek Mill. And
hey,
Meek
Bill,
told
hey,
me.
Bill, hey, Bill, it's RKK. M squared called me.
Yeah, right.
And I had an idea.
You know, Meek told me about Lamar, and I'm just saying, you know, do with it what you'd like. But to me, Lamar should just call up Bill and say, look, let's talk. I could do this for you. And today is when he should do it. Just read. If it's true and you're not sold on your guy, let's figure it out. Maybe you send Mac to Baltimore and Baltimore sends Lamar here. You swap draft choices and we're done. There's no offer sheet involved. Let's go.
Well, in honor of Air and Ben Affleck coming on,
look at you.
It should be Lamar's mom calling up.
Yes.
The same way that Michael's mom.
Sign me to a deal.
And pull the strings for Nike.
But you can't ask for a piece of the Patriots in the deal. That's called a salary cap violation.
That'd be an issue.
I bet you, you know, back in the day, people talked about Michael Jordan's mom asking for these things, too, and that worked out okay.
A little bit.
You know, when it comes to Meek Mill, Rich, I just love the fact that you're
you
stuck on
it. I was going to say that name. There's one person saying,
When it comes to Meek Mill, Lord knows he respects the game, right? And I'm sure he saw that things are going bad in New England, and, you know, he wants to help his city, and he figures if you give someone else a bag, you know, they can help change things.
I agree.
He's just out there, you know, trying to hit somebody with a RICO.
And I look at
all eyes on you. That's just
about much. I know what you're saying. Yeah, I get you. Thank you. I'm picking up what you're putting.
I like the fact that you let me do dumb stuff like
this. We'll take a break. The monster player of the week. It's kind of a no-brainer, but we'll reveal it to you.
Is it Roman
Tiger Woods? Tiger Woods has spoken. Also, somebody's having a music festival at the draft. That's all in Susie's news update, top of the next hour, that leads to Ben Affleck, as mentioned, on this program. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone call. Susie, just
leave it to Susie to make sense.
I don't understand. Yeah. Why do I have to come here?
I never even looked at it like that, Rich.
The record straight. I mean, I don't get it. It's so simple to me.
I kind of dig the photos that sometimes they put photos up that are very unflattering, right? And I don't like it. And other ones are like, oh, I forgot I did that.
Yeah.
The bussing with the guys, the boys. All right. Oh, you know what? I'll
go
take
to
a look
Nashville.
At it. All right, I'll think about it.
Yeah, do it.
Well, I mean, you've already been given permission now.
No, it's not getting the permission.
It's permission, bro. It's permission.
It's not permission.
If we know who runs things.
No, it's about a motor and a bus. It's under the hood.
So what? It's a set. It's cute. Let's go with the guys.
It's got to be a little move. I'm with Rich. It's got to have a motor.
Right. Oh my God!
It'd be like boating with the boys with no motor, and we're on a dry dock.
You're on a boat.
You're on a dry dock. It's just I don't get it. I'm with Rich. I don't understand it. Be like, yeah, come to my boat. Do you have a motor? Can you go in the water?
You're a sound guy. You know that you can't have the sound of a motor because it's going to drown out.
No,
oh, Mike.
Susie is just drunk. Science like Galileo dropped the torch right
Mike,
now.
I once did a real sports thing, and it was for Andre Agassi, Mary Carrillo, and myself.
Yes.
And we were going to interview Andre in the marina at the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh,
all day
yeah.
So loud. I'm such a friggin' genius. I set up the chute. Beautiful two chairs, yeah. Typical real sports. The sound of the boats in the background
screwed it all up.
Killed us. You don't like your. The boats.
You can park.
She just solved the problem and put them two guy. In
place. Right, I'll
always have your back.
I'll take it under advisement. I'll take it under consideration. So you have the drop of this is the Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Whose voice is that? It's the voice of Aaron Sheehan. Okay. And many of you fans of the Dan Patrick Show have heard her voice as well, certainly of late, because she's the better half of Seton O'Connor, and she's the better half of anybody who's put a bracket together. She had UConn beating San Diego State. Guess what happened last night in the national championship game? That.
How?
And joining
I
us here.
I hope she made so much money.
The voice of the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. What the hell? Where did you pull? What? Look, I know you live in Connecticut, and so maybe you just were pulling a homer, but where did San Diego State come from? What the heck, Aaron?
I had them beating FAU.
Wait, hold on a minute.
Yeah, I saw that.
So you had of the you had San Diego State beating FAU to get to the final game to lose to UConn. That was your.
Yes.
What?
And I had UConn beating Miami to get in.
What? So you got the Final Four?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. What? Where did my God? Where did this come from? What's going on, Aaron?
You know.
What happened?
Just vibes. I don't know what to tell you. So Seton asked me to do a bracket. He asks me every year.
Yep.
Every year I say no.
Okay.
This year my son did one. And you know what it's like, you know, being a parent. Okay, I don't want to be the sore sport, you know, of the family. So I'll do a bracket too.
Right.
Send me the link, I'll do a bracket.
Yeah.
So I go through the whole bracket. I get down to the Elite Eight, and I make what I think are informed decisions on my Final Four. You know, kind of based on where I've lived in the country.
Okay.
And Seton takes a look at my Final Four, and he says, "Wow, that's a wild Final Four. That is a wild Final Four." And and then I, you know, so I said, well, I don't know. Anything can happen, right? That's what they say. And sure enough, I mean, if only we had put $100 on it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So wait a minute. So this was just an internal, you know,
yeah,
she and O'Connor pool. That's it? That you didn't put it anywhere?
Well, I did. I put it on the DP show challenge, the celebrity challenge.
And you won it, right?
You know, but as the spouse of an employee of the show, I don't know that I'm getting anything from
him. Oh, come on. Dan is loaded. Make him pay. Come on. Do I have to call him for you? This is ridiculous.
What the?
That's incredible.
He could give you a calendar at least.
I agree.
How about ice cream? Can you get Sue's ice cream for this or something?
Something
good.
What the?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
A little walnut creamery.
Delicious.
Also, maybe I was thinking.
Yes.
What do they call that? The MVD, Most Valuable Danette?
Yeah.
Can they maybe do like an MVDS?
Yes.
Most Valuable Danette spouse?
That's right.
And I get a plaque?
Winner. Oh, my gosh. So was this anywhere online where you would have won any pool, I imagine? You would have won all of them. Every last one of them.
Yeah, I think I might have. You know what? I said to him, I will be serious. I'm serious here. I was really kind of depressed when I found out that I could have won $8 million. I was really like, what? I mean, the first day I thought it was funny. Then by the second day when it really sunk in, I was like, just thinking of all the things I could have gotten done in the house, you know, or all this, not worrying about sending my son to private high school. Nope, no more. But, and I got really depressed about it.
Yeah, because you started counting the money.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah.
Oh, that's painful.
All right.
I get it.
We would have had a pool by September.
thanks to this pool that you would. Oh, my gosh. All right. Aaron, from now on.
Yeah, I could have put. Sorry.
No. From now on, we're going to have to, you know.
Include her in our pool.
Yeah, we're going to have to. No, we're not.
No, yeah, we only
should have. We're going to have to reach out to find out where else you've lived.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Well, I had my reasoning. It worked.
All right. Well,
yeah, it did.
Congratulations, I guess, on that. And we got to get Dan. So seriously, Dan's got, we got
to. Let's call Dan after the show and tell him
gosh.
To come correct. This is ridiculous.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Come on. We got to get something. Congratulations on that. This is the greatest NCAA tournament pool story I've literally ever heard.
Also, you should be claiming Aaron as the Rich Eisen Show MVP.
Since day one. So you right there.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There you go.
That's right.
Thanks again, Aaron. Thanks for coming on. Congrats.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
You got
congratulations.
It. There you go. First ever time Aaron's been a guest on the show that she voices. Oh.
That is unbelievable, man.
G. Ben Affleck coming up in hour number three. Susie's news update, hearing from Tiger Woods and more.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
Great accent.
Now, next time, next year.
Yeah.
Because you are the only one in the house who doesn't do the bracket.
That's true.
So next year, you've got to do it.
Based on where I've lived, I mean, that's not a very long list.
Because we go ahead and put ours on ESPN. Mm-hmm. So your bracket would have been in that.
Yeah.
Does Dan must put it on somewhere, though. He's got to put it somewhere.
Why is there not a Rich Eisen Show big bracketology thing?
There is, actually. We did have that, and Brockman's the one who's on it. I don't know who's won it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess we'll do that tomorrow when Chris comes back from playing golf.
I think we should blow it up next year. Make Chris actually do something and make this really good. What do you think?
We had almost 900 people.
I mean, this sitting in the sidekick role, I mean, I might as well do my nails over here.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Come on, Susie, you know you don't do your own nails.
Wow.
TJ.
Damn. I'm just saying. She brought donuts and everything.
I'm just saying. You get them professionally done. I see.
And she cut me off in traffic 3 times.
Oh. Yeah, I did.
Susie, I still love you.
Thank you, Mikey G.
All right.
I have to work next.
What the hell's going on around here?
What the hell going on?
We got voiceover people winning
everything.
Everything.
Me lost my voice from wrestling this weekend.
Ben Affleck coming up. Susie's news update. What did Tiger have to say from Augusta National? Oh. That's coming up.